Hello there. We're Vince and Elliot McNally.
Yes, the great-great-grandsons of map-making mogul Rand McNally.
And we'll be your hosts and tour guides on a trip across America, one small town at a time.
In the spirit of our great-great-grandfather, we're traveling the country writing the family's first almanac in over 50 years. Towns and Country, the McNally Brothers' comprehensive guide to small-town America.
Each week we'll be in a new town, and after getting to know the place and the people, we'll tell you, the listener, all there is to know.
In a show we call These Parts, a podcast putting towns on the map. Hello, listeners. Welcome to another episode of These Parts. I am, of course, one of your hosts, Elliot McNally, joined by my brother, my friend, and my amazing traveling companion, Vince McNally. How's it going, Vince?
Elliot, it's going great. It's going even better now that you included the adjective amazing in front of traveling companion. That's a treat I don't usually get to experience.
Yeah, I was hoping that you'll reciprocate in further episodes.
Well, that'll be left to be seen. Always nice to give our listeners a sort of a cliffhanger. Keep the drama alive. Stir a little bit of mystery into the program. Speaking of which, what an exciting and in some ways mystifying town that we've landed in this week, Elliot.
It is truly a marvel of a town. It is definitely hearkening back to our great-great-grandfather's inventive spirit, I think.
Absolutely. Not only that, but also the cultural zeitgeist of the time in which he was in his highest prominence. It was a time of exploration, of invention, of an unslakable thirst to learn more about the world. And it gave rise to a phenomenon that persists to this day here in the town that we're staying in.
At its zenith, I would say, you know, at the turn of the century, but the town we're in today has continued this tradition despite constant waning of interest.
They are not to be deterred, however. The true inventive spirit, which is alive and well here, doesn't kowtow to trendiness, to flavor of the year. It stands robust.
And Vince, I think we should stop tiptoeing and trying to find different ways to describe this town and actually put this town on the map.
One step ahead of you, Elliot.
So listeners at home, take out your comprehensive Rand McNally U.S. wall maps and your commemorative Rand McNally pushpins and get ready to stick a pin in Zelton, Maryland. But before we do, we are joined by a guest to help us out. Zelton, Maryland, as you may have pieced together from my and Vincent's ramblings at the top of the episode, is a town that has its own World's Fair every single year, constantly pushing forth the inventive spirit and the entrepreneurial attitude of America. Here with us is one of the inventors of this year's World's Fair, which is actually going on right now. Can you introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi. I'm so excited to be here. My name is Duck McTell. That's Duck with a K at the end and McTell with an L at the end. And I am here at Zelton Invents. So this is our World's Fair. There's a lot of stuff going on around me, and it's just really exciting to see inventors come out and show off their wares. There's not a lot of people here to see it just yet, but we're hopeful. So that's what we got.
Duck, what number annual fair is this for Zelton?
It's the 17th, which is, I always like things that have the number 7 in it just because it's, you know, it's got a lot of historical weight to it, and it's good luck. Just a lucky number.
It's a very auspicious number.
It sure is.
The first World's Fair of Zelton was in 1999.
That's correct, yes.
A little late to the trend, some might criticize, but I instead would say a revival is underway here in Zelton. And we picked intentionally the week of the fair to visit. How many people do you think have visited? We're on the second to last day of the fair here. How many people have visited the various booths of Zelton Invents?
If I had to estimate, I would say, and let's see, I'm here at every hour of the fair. So I get to see a lot of the people come through, but probably in total, maybe 25 people.
And this is a week long event.
Yeah. It's a lot of, we get some repeats. I'll say that. like it's 25 people, but some of them come multiple days. And for us, it's not really about the numbers so much as it is the impact. And I feel like the great thing with invention is, hey, a lot of people saw Alexander Graham Bell's telephone and they were like, nope, that's not something that we want. But guess what? Everyone soon had telephones, and granted the landline is dead, but that's how invention works. Something new comes along. So now we got cell phones, and it's just a nice little cycle of stuff. But yeah, I mean, I try not to look at the numbers, but more about how many lives were changed here in Zelton.
And your point's well taken. I mean, all you have to do is impact that one person, that one investor, to take hold of your idea. And it becomes the next landline telephone.
Exactly. Yeah. We're all looking for those angel investors. And I think we probably, you know, they don't like to tell us who they are. In fact, no one has ever said that they're venture capitalists or anything like that. Like, no one's come out and said it. But I'm sure they've been here. You know what I mean? Like, I think we've made a name for ourselves in these last 17 years. Like, people are taking notice of us, I would say.
It's hard not to. So many marvelous inventions and creations on display here. If you'd want to take the chance just for a minute to talk about what you brought to the fair this year, what invention has got your booth, the Duck booth, a buzz?
Well, so my Duck booth this year, I like to solve practical everyday problems. And really, that was kind of the idea behind this fair here, was to really take a look at local issues, maybe that probably are happening on a grander scale, too, because I definitely believe in the local global movement. And I think that we're all similar. You know, it's spread across everywhere. So by taking a local Zelton problem, which the one I focused on this year was people losing their keys. And that is something that I think is a prominent problem around the world. And so what I thought was, I thought, Duck, hey, say I'm out for a walk. We have a lot of nice people trails out here in Zelton, and sometimes you get to you're vigorously exercising and your keys fall out of your pocket.
Naturally
is that's what happens. So what if I'm someone coming up along the trail and I find these keys and I think, uh-oh, someone lost these, but I don't have any way to figure out whose these are. So what I've invented is I call it a key pillar. And it's at the center of our town square. And it looks like a big old phone booth, like one of the ones you'd see in London, kind of like Doctor Who-esque-ish. What people do is they just hang up the keys that they found there in that pillar. And then everyone can come and meet there and check out and see if their keys got hung up. So it's just like a nice central area to go and grab your keys.
I saw this earlier. It's very similar. I would liken it to the Love Bridge in Paris, where people put the locks all over the bridge. And it's virtually indiscernible whose locks is whose. So are you just banking on people knowing what their keys were and, you know, it? Hopefully there's not any duplicate keys there.
Exactly. Well, yeah, I think that people have an intimate relationship with their keys. They know what they look like. I mean, this is something you use every day to get in and out of a car, to start a car, to open a trunk of a car, to get your car going. Mostly car related. I mean, I'm guessing there's going to be mostly car related, but maybe, you know, probably some apartment or house keys in there too, if I'm being honest. Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. And maybe this will inspire people to put my friend Rose, just a few booths down, she has these real nice little key tags. So it's a tag you can put on your key. So we kind of went into it together.
There's some collusion happening, but amongst the inventors then.
Oh, yeah. And don't you think there should be?
Oh, of course.
Actually, I took a look at the key pillar What I loved is that the key tags often had a description and picture of the vehicle that they go to mm-hmm. on it, so it could jog your memory. If you come across your keys and you say, well, I'm not sure if they're my key, then you can see what abandoned car they go to.
Exactly. Yeah, Rose, she was thinking on that one where she was like, well, hey, it could get confusing. And if I increase the real estate on these tags that I've made, boom. People can really put some details. And, you know, sometimes, like, there's even room for inspirational quotes, like, if you have a dream, go achieve it type things that we can put on there, too. So it's, I like to think it's bringing the community together.
Because the tags are, you know, like 8.5 by 11 letter sheets of paper.
Yeah.
You can fit a good amount on there.
You sure can. Guys, I'm kind of worried that if more people get the key tags, they won't lose their keys. And then my key pillar will become obsolete. I'm a little worried that Rose knew what she was doing. Do you think she's trying to put me out of invention business?
I wouldn't be throwing accusations around right now.
I wouldn't say that. I feel like it's a symbiotic relationship, because the reason you have the key tag is to find it once you lose it. So without losing keys, there'd be no reason to have the key tags in the first place.
Yeah.
And I think you're positioned in a very unique town that we've kind of alluded to throughout this discussion, is known for its myriad abandoned cars all over. It was actually built on an old junkyard.
Yeah, it was. We've done a lot of cleaning up and a lot of just kind of letting the cars be part of the natural landscape. Lots of cool artwork on them. And there's even a nice little car motel. And it's getting a lot of business. It's like, what do they call? It's called Rooms on Wheels is what it is. And that's where a lot of our people who come to our World's Fair, that's where they typically stay.
I did see an invention that called itself the Car House, totally new and novel. It did look a lot like someone had just stuck that sign next to our RV. But at the same time, I think it speaks to the entrepreneurial spirit of the people here.
It's true. I mean, I think that to name something, to give it a name, is to invent it. It's to make it real. Like, I mean, before, did you guys feel like you were Vince and Elliot before you were given your names Vince and Elliot?
That's hard to say.
It is hard to say, because we were given them at birth.
Hmm.
But perhaps that's your point. Perhaps your point is made in that truth. All of this talking about the town and the inventive spirit is working up quite an appetite in me, Elliot. I don't mean to speak for you as well.
I always have one going, and I think we should address this in one of my favorite segments, if not my favorite segment, Elliot's Eats.
So listeners, Elliot's Eats is my brother's foray into the culinary of the towns that we visit. He will pick usually one, but not a rigid rule, establishment to eat all his meals at and get to know and explore the cuisine. I think this week you may have sampled from a few booths. Elliot, correct me mm-hmm. if I'm wrong.
Oh, I definitely did. I'm glad you mentioned that it's not a rigid rule. I want listeners to have fun with this segment. I want to have fun with this segment. And you don't have fun with rigid rules. Although everything I eat has to be strictly vegan, we can have a lot of fun with flexibility of the foods we eat, as long as there are no animal products of any kind.
Also, this week you were instating the clean consciousness of wise plants addendum to your vegetarianism. All the plants that die to make your food have to have understood why they were dying at the moment of their death.
Yeah, and you can't kill a plant that seems to be wilting a little bit, because then it might seem like a person going like, sighing. And you don't want that. You want a nice, virile plant to be eating. But I was so excited to be in Zelton, walking around the World's Fair. As we know, historically, World's Fairs have introduced some amazing foods, from ice cream to peanut butter. So I wanted to see what Zelton was going to throw in the mix. And guys, Duck, I'm sure you've eaten this a lot. It was the pinnacle of 1999 food. But a little spin on it. So I'm sure a lot of people have heard of Dippin' Dots, the dry ice cream. What I sampled was Sippin' Dots, and they are turning liquid beverages into dry ice pellets. It's amazing.
That sounds fantastic, Elliot. What were some of the flavors that you imbibed in?
Well, so there was water. that was kind of their basic flavor. There was, you know, basically any beverage you could imagine. There was beer, there was sodas, all this stuff. And they say that despite dry ice's capacity to dehydrate you, that Sippin' Dots are just inherently the beverage of the future. You know, you don't want so many liquids in your body. Your body's already, you know, upwards of 75% liquid. Why would you want more in there? You want dry ice pellets as beverages.
Can you imagine, Elliot, zooming around in your space car and having liquid splash all over the controls? That sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, I mean, 1999's vision of the future, you have all these LED panels and everything in your cars, as long as you can find your car, of course, unless it's abandoned. But if you have liquid spilling around, it's going to break everything. But if you have dry ice pellets, you can just scoop them right back in your cup, and then you're on your way again.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Sippin' Dots. That's whenever we have our World's Fair planning meetings, that's what we drink. That's what we have there. And it's nice because sometimes we'll spill and we won't get it on our planning papers. It's very helpful.
That sounds extremely practical. A theme that seems to be reoccurring here in Zelton, practicality above all else.
Yep, yep. Mm-hmm. That's our motto. That's our World's Fair motto, practicality above all else.
And it's a fitting motto indeed. Are there any cuisines or foods that you're particularly fond of, Duck?
Well, there are these really nice, I've always been a big taco fan.
Who isn't?
Yeah, who isn't? And there's a very nice gentleman named Dwayne who makes taco hats. So in the summertime, it gets very, you know, it's hot and there's a lot of sunshine. And these taco hats will shield you from sun. And then you can just reach up and like the little bowl part on your head has a lot of just tacos sitting in them. It's like one big taco with tacos inside.
Nesting tacos, if you will.
Yes.
How has he combated the scalding hot salsa that sits on the top of the hat? Like if that spills?
Yeah, believe it or not, he's actually got a nice little layer of Sippin' Dots tucked in there. So it forms this little protective layer.
Dry ice salsa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. A little bit of collaboration. It's like, and that's what we need more of is like, hey, you got this great idea. I got this one. Let's put them together and make a new solution. And that's what Dwayne did. Taco hats.
Mm-hmm. I need to get me one of those.
You should. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, but you guys, I'm worried. I don't think he's known here in Zelton as an unkind gardener. And I think that may be what he makes his salsa. It's sad salsa. Like, it tastes good, but it tastes sad.
Oh, so, Elliot, I'm not sure that actually adheres to your dietary...
Yeah, that's true. I want my salsa practically jumping out of the bowl at me as I eat it.
Yeah, I don't want to dissuade you from trying out Dwayne's taco hats, but he thinks that to get the best results from his plants, he needs to demean them. And so he just will stand out in his garden and yell insults at the tomatoes and the cilantro. And it's not good. It's not good.
Is this the guy that stands in front of the sun so his shadow will cast over his own vegetables?
Yeah. He's mean. Wow. He said he'll be like, I will deprive you of anything I can if you don't grow big and strong. And then he will. He follows through.
Is he the author of Negatarian Insulting Your Way to Better Tasting Plants?
He is.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's Dwayne. It's Dwayne Nolte. Dwayne Nolte he wrote that, and I thought for sure people would read it and there'd be a lot of backlash, but guys, I'm sad to say that there are more people picking up on this. I don't know. Like I've tried to talk to him, but he just doesn't want to hear it. He says he's getting nice big vegetables, and I'm like, they're big, but they're empty, Dwayne. They are empty inside.
You know, it takes all kinds and it takes different ideologies. And although I might not agree with it, I respect him for what he's doing. So if you're walking around Zelton, listeners, and you see someone arbitrarily yelling at a fig tree, just know that you're probably on your way to a great Fig Newton.
Yeah, they should know it's sad.
They should know. They should know it's sad. You're right, Duck. You're right. It's sad. And sometimes creation comes at a price. Right.
Oh, boy, is it true.
And speaking of salsas, I went to a different stand that I thought had a little bit more of a fun take on salsas and different condiments. It was called Freddy's Fixins, and he was all about future condiments. So I was very excited to see, you know, what people are putting on things in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was pretty much your standard lineup. There was your mustard, your ketchup, your relish, all that stuff. But the bottles just had little lights on them. It was fantastic. I kept inquiring what the difference was, and you kept referring me to the bottle, how it had lights on it.
And I think a big part of his approach is naming them different names, because what you may taste as ketchup, he refers to as robo-ketchup. He has a various selection of hyper-mustards.
And Future Relish is a huge seller, too.
Mm-hmm.
Duck, do people use these in their everyday lives in Zeltin, or are people thinking this is just too extreme for them?
What we like to do is we have special days set aside to really celebrate Freddy's Fixins, because, you know, I don't know. I think if you use them every day, you forget how special they really are, and it kind of loses its inspiration. But at the schools, our cafeterias, they usually try to bring them out every third Friday of the month, just to let the kiddos see what types of inventions are out there and how exciting it is. Where, you know, even if you have something that already exists, like ketchup and mustard and relish, there's still more to be done. There's still more to be done that you can have and add to it.
So what you're saying is no product is the be-all, end-all of that product. It can always be improved upon, reinvented.
Oh, exactly.
And I do have to say, before we move on, that these condiments make excellent souvenirs. I picked up a bottle of mayonnaise from a distant future age, and it's not only is it tasty, but apparently it has a very long shelf life.
Yeah, there's something about the mayonnaise jar with the Christmas lights wrapped around it that somehow preserves the mayonnaise inside.
Yeah, I don't know how Freddy does it. I mean, he's a whiz bang in the kitchen. And we actually have some a handful of caves here in Zeltin, and there was a spelunker who came through, and he picked up some of Freddy's fixins right before he went caving. And he got lost in there. And all of his, guess what? All of his highfalutin REI Patagonia inventions of lights failed him. And so he pulled out Freddy's condiments, Freddy's fixins, and he used those lights to find his way out. He says Freddy's fixins saved his life. So sometimes just, you know, the little things you do, big impact.
That really puts things in perspective.
And Vince, we're having such an amazing conversation. I hesitate to move on, but I know that we have such a great episode ahead of us, and I think we should hear from our listeners.
Let's look to the future in our segment that we like to call, Wouldn't You Like to Know?
So listeners, Wouldn't You Like to Know is your weekly opportunity to write into Vince and I and our guests about anything you'd like to know about the town we're in. Every week, we read three on the air, and this week's no different. And guys, I've got the first one.
Can't wait to hear it, Elliot.
So this one comes from Jerry in Warren, Rhode Island. Sorry, it's kind of hard to read because the entire thing is written almost like a ransom note. It's little magazine clippings making each letter.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It says, guys, sorry, this isn't a ransom note. I couldn't find a pen, so I'm using these magazine clippings to write my letter. This already seems like a lot of exposition for someone that had to clip up a lot of magazines to just write this letter.
Whenever I'm writing in magazine clippings, I do like to get straight to the point.
Me too, yeah.
He says, I've always loved World's Fair, so I'm very glad you're in Zeltin, Maryland. As we know, the World's Fair in Chicago was plagued by the famous murderer, H.H. Holmes, and Zeltin has had its fair share of murders documented in the film, and these ums and ellipses are also he took the time to assemble the magazine clippings in those fashions.
And it looks to me, correct me if I'm wrong, Elliot, that the ellipses are actually three or four separate periods from different magazine clippings.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a GQ period, a Rolling Stone period, a Time magazine period, right next to each other. He says that the murders in Zeltin, Maryland were documented in the 1970s thriller Deliverance. Could we talk about it? So I hate the fact that he went through all this trouble to assemble this painstaking, meticulous letter, and his facts aren't exactly straight.
No, first and foremost, that movie's not about that at all.
No, it's a wildly different plot. It also takes place in Georgia, not Maryland. But he brings up a valid point. Duck, were there any famous ne'er-do-wells or villains at past Zeltin fairs?
Let's see. And I would say the 2003 Zelton World Fair certainly comes to mind. We had a really wonderful inventor. He had moved here maybe just a few years before. I think it was in 99, the first year that he moved here, and was so inspired by the fair that he started making his own. He called them hornets. And they were robot hornets.
Was this the infamous Y2K bug?
It was. It was real bad. You guys, I don't even like to talk about it, but I think it's probably a good thing to do just to get it out there and make sure people know that sometimes when we have ambitions that are go unchecked or aren't geared toward like a practical problem, because I kept asking him, his name was Leonard, and I kept asking Leonard, I said, what are these robotic hornets going to help us with? They seem like they would just wreak havoc and terror and destruction onto millions of homes. And he said, hey, that is fun. That is a fun thing. And I should have known. I shouldn't have given him a booth that year, but I still did. Yeah, those hornets, they got loose.
Well, it's really sad that, you know, in 99, at the height of the Y2K bug scare, he was, you know, everyone was coming to his booth. And I saw him earlier this week, and people just kind of ignored him.
Yeah, we haven't, you know, we didn't try to prosecute or anything like that. So he still comes. And it's sad. He still wears his 03 World's Fair button every day. Like every day I'll run into him in an ice cream shop and he's got the button on. And it's sad. He wants to get back into the invention game. But word gets around when you're an inventor who's gone bad. And Leonard's one of them.
Yeah, that's a tragic tale if I've ever heard one.
Yeah, unfortunately, there are a few of those here in Zelton. It's sad. There's a rock also at the center of the town square. It's by my key pillar, and it's so this is it's a secret. We call it our secrets rock, and so we go whenever we have something that we want to just bury and not talk about. We lift up this very heavy rock. And we say our secrets underneath it, and then we put the rock back down. And Leonard's story is one that I've put under the secret rock many times.
Have there ever been instances of people trying to steal secrets, maybe inventors' secrets, out of the rock?
Oh, gosh.
I hesitate to even bring that up, but
I didn't even think about that.
To reiterate, you just speak the secrets into the rock as a sort of cathartic exercise.
Yeah.
So there's no evidence of the secret left behind.
Well, Vince, it lingers in the air, I'm sure.
What if someone were to invent a microphone recording device that could be in the rock?
Whoa, I had not considered that.
This is a town of inventors. It's going to happen. Someone's going to use that rock for bad. Oh, no.
I feel like we're making our guest uneasy, Vince, and I think maybe we should get on to the next letter.
I feel sick.
I think you're right, Elliot. Changing the subject, I've got a charming little piece of construction paper here, and written in crayon, it says, and the handwriting is, and the penmanship isn't perfect, but it comes from Diane in Chicago, Illinois.
So what does Diane have to say?
I'm going to read it verbatim out of respect to our writer. It says in crayon handwriting, pink crayon, "Did you guys invent the computer?" That's it. That's what it says.
Oh.
I'm going to defer to Duck for this one.
Yeah. I'm worried that maybe this person is misinformed. What I think they're talking about. Did it say computer? What was it?
It says, "Did you guys invent the computer?" And then it's signed Diane, age 6.
Oh, so she's a... Yeah, let's see. Hey, Diane. No, we didn't invent the computer, but I appreciate your question. I'm trying to think of who did invent the computer or invent it. I wish my knowledge was better. But hey, Diane, I say you ask your guardians if you can come to the Zelton World's Fair next year, and we will have a special pass set aside for you to come. I'll give you a personal tour.
Come on, that's so nice. That just warms the heart.
Well, Duck, I know that this is an act of good faith, but I do want to point out that the computer is part of the more adult-centric part of the Zelton World's Fair, and maybe Diane would like the more kid-friendly stuff.
Yeah. Oh, that's probably true. That's true. I'm going to give you a sneak peek of what's in the works for next year. We were so close this year to getting it out, but it's a slide that can send you at the speed of water.
The speed of water?
Yeah. Yeah, wow. We're taking it one step at a time.
So this, and by no means am I calling it this name. It's just something off the top of my head, this water-based slide. How big is it going to be?
It'll be about the size of, let's see, I'd say, you know, one of those grain silos. Have you seen those?
Yes.
It's about that size.
Oh, that's pretty big.
Winds around. Yeah, it's nothing to scoff at. It'll probably be seen for at least a half mile away. So that's nice. We were going to put some artwork up on it just so it's clear that it's the Zeltons World Fair. Zelton Invents is what we're going to put up there. And but yeah, I think Diane would like that a lot. It seems to be more kid friendly. I think your name Water Slide is apt, but we're going to try for something.
Yeah, you want something with a little more zing.
Exactly. Zing was the word. That's it. Maybe zing. Maybe just zing.
Yeah, maybe the zinger.
The zinger. Maybe we could call it that. But what? How do I convey water? H2O zinger.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's pretty cool.
I'll drink some Sippin' Dots and think about it later.
Yeah, is there actually going to be liquid water in there, or will it be Sippin' Dot water?
See, that's the thing, too. It's like there are... This is the thing about inventing, is it is limitless. there's just... infinite ideas that you could throw at the board, and we just try to see what sticks and what slides down the water slide.
The idea board that you guys have erected in the World's Fairgrounds is amazing. There are so many ideas and so many darts thrown in the board all over the place.
Yeah. Oh, there are. We have to be careful about making sure that when one person is speaking that another one isn't, because people will often, when ideas start overlapping and people start overlapping, darts start going everywhere. It's kind of dangerous. We're working on making something better, safer. You know, you think that a town of inventors, we would have come up with a better thing, but we haven't yet. It's kind of been low priority.
I'm sure you just have to give it time. In the meantime, though, Duck, do you mind reading our final question for us?
Sure, yeah. I just got a text message from my Uncle Greg, who's listening, which I thought was so nice. And he says, "Hey, Duck, what are you bringing to our 4th of July barbecue this year?"
Wow, that's a very preemptive request.
Yeah. Well... Uncle Greg, I'd say I'll probably just be bringing my normal mashed potato clover leaf that I like to make. It's just mashed potatoes in the shape of a clover leaf. It was something that it's kind of a famous dish of mine.
You know, the 4th of July, though, brings a question to my mind. Is I'm sure that you guys have some sort of celebration for the World's Fair. And because you have the World's Fair every year, you probably have so many fireworks in the town.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, we do. Oh, it drives the dogs crazy, but we like it. I'm working on a set of dog earmuffs that I'd like to get prototypes and then manufactured somewhere so we can just like whip them out real quick. But yeah, our fireworks display is something we're so proud of here. Are you guys going to, did you get a chance to see it?
Well, it's tonight, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So no, not yet, but we have watched the YouTube videos of it in past years. It's spectacular.
It's so wonderful because they time it just right with, we always put music along with it, and then we have a choreographed dance that goes on beneath it, and then at the end of it all, it's sort of similar to the Hands Across America, but it's more like ideas across Zelton, but we just hold hands and let all of our ideas just zip across, just zip right through that line of people. You can feel the energy.
It's 2013's rendition of the choreographed show to the tune of Toto's Africa was haunting.
Yeah, that one sticks with me. That was an extra extra special year.
The finale, when the firework of Mount Kilimanjaro rises above the town, is I dare say it brought a tear to my eye.
I will say you have a good eye for just things that are magical and whimsical and nice. That's good. It's nice to hear positive feedback, because I don't know, sometimes I think it's wasted because nobody's here to see it live. There aren't, guys, I just don't know why people don't come. It makes me sad.
Well, you know, we're here, Duck. We're here. We've been here all week. And I think the tons of people who listen to our podcast will be flocking to the next World Fair.
Oh, that's great news.
So look out, 18th Annual World's Fair of Zelton. You've got these parts population coming your way.
Oh, I'm so excited. I will. If you guys want, I'll give you a booth next year.
Elliot, that sounds really spectacular. As followers of our great-great-grandfather, you know, we're novice inventors ourselves. We haven't done anything quite as, amazing as the key pillar, but we're working on it.
One day, that's the thing. And if you want, you can feel free to build off of the key pillar idea. Like, that's the thing about ideas and inventions, is that, I don't know, I don't like it when people own them. You know, these copyright laws, copyright this, trademark that, register that. I'm like, why? This should be available for other people to make good ideas off of.
We might go a different direction than the whole, like, abandoned cars thing, and kind of just fall more into our own expertise.
It seems like well-tread territory here in Zelton.
I don't know. I mean, there's always more to explore, but if you feel inspired to go in a different direction, that's fine. I won't stop you.
And Vince, I kind of want to continue on in this direction. We've talked about the convention. We've talked about all the different people who are involved. I want to get in there and show our listeners a little peek behind the curtain.
Elliot, I can't wait. This is one of my favorite segments.
It's called Towning Around.
So, listeners, Towning Around is our message of understanding to you that you want to know the places, not just the tourist traps or the places you could easily look up on the worldwide internet, but the interesting places, the ins and outs of the towns that we visit, and it's not enough just to talk about them. We like to show you.
As an accompaniment to our forthcoming Almanac Towns and Country, the McNally Brothers Comprehensive Guide to Small Town America, Vince and I do audio tours walking around whatever town we're in. And that way, if you visit the town, you can hear Vince and I tell you exactly what you're looking at and when you're looking at it, if you're looking at it at the same time that we recorded it.
It really is the only way to travel. Elliot, this rendition, this iteration of the concept was really super fun, because we got to do the normal fair-going experience. We got to go to booth to booth and talk to the inventors, the proprietors that make the fair what it is.
So should we roll this clip?
I think that's a great idea.
Hey guys, this is Vince and Elliot McNally along with Duck McTell at the Zelton World's Fair. This is an amazing experience. We're walking down the promenade right now. Duck, can you kind of paint the picture of where we are right now?
Oh, of course. So we're walking down, like you said, the promenade, and on either side, there are some really wonderful weeping willow trees. And as we move down, you start to see each of the booths just kind of open up. You can see each person has their own little signs and their artworks talking about what they've come to show off. A lot of kids on bicycles or specialty bicycles called just sickles. And those are new this year, so a lot of them are trying those things out. We have extra bouncy balls that they're also running around in the field with. People playing catch, too. It's a nice just little gathering.
Guys, and if you're not here right now, we're going to talk to some of these inventors. We're approaching the first booth right now. Excuse me, sir, can you introduce yourself and tell us about your product?
Hello, my name is Vegan Van Bergen.
Vegan Van Bergen, is that correct?
Vegan Van Bergen.
Mr. Bergen, what is your product here?
Yes, hello, American tourist. I have invented the thing it called Spang.
I'm sorry, is it Spang? Duck, have you
heard of this? Is it Spang? Spang with a G at the end?
Yes, S-P-A-N-G sub. It is combination your American spam, your American tang.
Oh my, what is it? So I can see it there. It's hard to tell if it's more liquid or solid. It's just kind of a...
It is non-Newtonian fluid.
This seems to be a reoccurring theme of the liquid turns solid in Zelda.
In future, there are no more liquid.
Are you from the future?
No, this is mission statement from Vagan Van Bergen.
Is this your first year? I don't remember you from last year.
Yes, I am new in America.
This is great. This is growth. This is growth that we're seeing right here.
You try Spain now. You try Spain.
Oh, okay. I'll just take a spoonful of it.
I'm going to let you take over that one.
You don't want... Okay, well, I'll just...
Is it pretty good?
Yeah, I mean, it's got the... Yeah, it's like... I'd say and what the thing that is, there's something delightful about it, and the thing that is the combination of the salty spam taste and the sweet tangy taste, so that goes together well.
Yes, exactly. You should be advertiser for Vergen, please.
Sure. Well, yeah, I mean, we can talk about that. What if we could put like a little Spang vending machine in the town square center?
Yes, this is a great idea. Very good.
Yeah, because I mean, that's where a lot of our good stuff goes. You know, it'd just be a nice place to let people see the great work you're doing, Werner.
Werner Van Bergen.
Where are you from?
I am from Estonia.
So you traveled all the way to Estonia, from Estonia to Zelton, Maryland, just to give Americans a taste of your country. I'm assuming this is some sort of historical Estonian drink.
No, you're wrong. It is food for the spaceman.
Yeah, I get that because of the tang.
I didn't realize Estonia had a space program.
Yes, it is large firework, man on the rocket. Yes.
Man on the rocket. Has anybody... How successful has that program been? Pretty successful?
Very unsuccessful.
Oh, no.
All spacemen, they die.
No.
It's sad. It's sad truth. So I come to America. I bring Spang here. And then I say to NASA astronaut, please to eat it in space.
You know, that would explain your Spang logo, which is... I'm assuming it's a picture of the moon with the American flag on it that's crossed out and then the Estonian flag drawn on it.
And this is also crossed out and then the flag for Spang is on that instead.
So your mission for the company is to claim the moon in the name of Spang.
Yes, moon is home planet for spaceman.
Wow, that's amazing. And listeners, Vince has just been awkwardly standing behind me the entire time, so you can't really hear him, but he is in awe and he's loving Spang as well.
Yeah, he's really digging into it.
It's pretty chewy. It's hard to get a word out if you're chewing it, it seems.
He looked like he's choking.
Should we help? Is that...
No, it's normal.
It's normal? Okay. It's normal.
Well, thanks so much for talking to us. We got to move on.
Yeah, thanks, Werner.
Remember, Spang is space food for spacemen.
Yeah, we'll remember.
Wow, what a character.
He was something, all right.
But what gumption to travel all that way and make it?
Well, that's what you want to see at the Zelton World's Fair.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean... Without people like Werner, where would NASA even be? I'm sure that NASA just started as a bunch of little Werners who had a big idea, a big idea and a dream.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's just the Spang that's starting to curdle in my stomach, but I think that you're stirring some inspiration in me with that remark.
Oh, good. I'm glad. That's my favorite thing. That's my favorite thing that happens here.
Well, let's not waste any time. Let's get to the next booth, Elliot. And it looks like we've got a gentleman here. This is really interesting. Sir, do you mind for the microphone telling us who you are and what you have going on here?
Hello, my name is Liam Neeson.
Liam?
Sorry, I didn't recognize you with that facial hair. Liam, you know I'm a huge fan. So is Elliot here. He's so gobsmacked. He's so starstruck. He can't even speak.
I appreciate you coming to my booth.
I certainly didn't expect to see Liam Neeson here. What is it that you're peddling?
Oh, I don't appreciate your tone, Vince. What I'm selling is a contraption I've created so that no one takes my daughter again.
Yikes.
You took the words right out of my mouth, Doc.
It's supposed to be a fun invention. Why aren't you smiling?
It doesn't look very fun to me, sir.
I was inspired by a Wallace and Gromit film. Taken, Eggs and Bacon. Where... They were preparing breakfast. An intruder came into their house. The intruder trips on a wire, which sends a golf ball down a ramp. It throws a bunch of marbles in a bucket. The bucket plummets to the ground. And a boot kicks the intruder in the face.
That reminds me of a movie I've seen called Home Alone.
No, I think you're referring to Taken 2, the sequel to Taken.
Well, I'm not sure. I think she was referring to the Home Alone with Macaulay Culkin, you know, that film.
Well, the director and I were greatly inspired by Macaulay Culkin's work, and the Taken franchise was built around that.
Has this invention, how do you test it? What have you done to make sure, how does it work?
Well, let me answer your question with another question.
Okay.
Do you want to try and take my daughter? Do you want to try and come into my house and test this invention?
No, I don't, Liam Neeson. I don't.
Why are you recoiling in fear?
I really have to echo Duck's sentiments here that I could not want anything less than to test this invention, Mr. Neeson.
Come closer to me, Vince, and tell that to my face.
I think that I will pass.
Don't do it.
No, thank you. You and I are on the same page here, Duck.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Mr. Neeson's clearly a busy man. Clearly he has a lot more going on than I imagined, and maybe we should leave him to his work.
That sounds like a great idea. Thanks for being here.
All right, let's go, Elliot. Come on now.
Well, guys, that was terrifying. It looks like we have time to talk to one more inventor. And, Miss, who might you be?
Oh, my name is Dylan Thurgood.
You seem enthusiastic.
I am. I really am. You know, this is a beautiful day. I'm just going to put it out there. I love candles. I'm really into candles.
Yeah, we could smell your booth long before we could see it.
Yeah.
What do you like about them? The scents, the process of making them?
Yeah, I'd say both equally, and also the light that they give off. So there's a three-pronged thing that really gets me about these candles. Yeah, so I'm trying a lot of different new scents. A lot of things that are, I mean, some people might say that they smell a little bit too chemical, but what I am interested in is the journey that these candles can send you on. And also, they never run out. These candles never burn out because they re-self-regenerate.
That's twice as much.
Yes. Yeah. So that's kind of the thing that you have to watch out for, is you have to make sure, like a goldfish, you have to make sure that the space you give it will allow it to grow to its full potential. For instance, I have one of my re-self regenerating candles taking up an entire mall downtown. It takes up the entire mall.
So your candles seem to function sort of like the blob. They just envelop anything in their path and keep growing, and the wax keeps growing.
Yes. It starts like a very tiny votive candle, if you can believe it. I have some over here, so you can see them.
Oh, yeah, that's really tiny.
They're very tiny. Like, sometimes it's hard to light the wick.
Yeah, this one's just on the tip of my finger.
Yeah, they're super, super tiny. Oh, and that's what's great, because you can ship them so easily. And you can also, they can kind of sneak up on people. So, like, say you want to surprise someone with a gift, but sometimes it's awkward because you give them a gift and they're like, oh, no, I don't have anything for you. And I'm always like, that's not why I'm here. That's not why I gave you a gift. I gave you a gift so you could be happy about it. So what I like to do is, if I'm over at a friend's house, is I find a nice little, like a quiet corner of the house, and I set the little baby tiny microscopic candle down, and I spend a few minutes trying to light it. And then once I get it lit, I leave it. And then eventually, within a few days, my friend will call. And they'll be like, Dylan, you left me a candle.
And it's grown to an overwhelming size and consumed my house and all its possessions.
Well,
I'm actually reading on a placard here. This is actually words from our happy customers.
Yeah. I guess, you know what? There are positives and negatives to every invention. And I tried to make those first surprising words, the ones that sound good, I made those bigger, and I didn't want you to read the tiny ones that were angry about taking over their house, but you read it all, and that's fine.
I really didn't mean to offend. I thought it was all meant to be, you know, I'm sure the candles are amazing. We drove past the mall that was consumed with ever-growing amount of wax earlier, and I thought it actually looked quite cool.
Thank you.
I'm sure there's one person that would appreciate this. Here's a, it looks to be about a 7 foot tall candle. And Duck, are you seeing that there's a bunch of car keys that seem to be inside of it?
Oh, that's so nice. Look, Dylan has brought together my idea and hers to make this work. I love that. We could, I mean, Dylan, if you're okay with us putting a pillar, one of your candles down in the town square, we could do that. It'd probably be right by, I'll just take out my key pillar and make it your candle, and it can be a key candle. How's that sound? Oh, that sounds really great. Oh, yeah, I'm all for that. People haven't just like, they haven't been excited about this, and I want them to be.
That's amazing. So let's say we have a candle next to the key pillar. If you get a key, you get a free glass of Spang, and then we put one of Mr. Neeson's Rube Goldberg contraptions in front of the secret rock so no one can get that. And then all you guys can work together.
That sounds nice.
That's the spirit of invention.
It really is. And if there's one thing I wanted you guys to see here at Zelton was that that is where that spirit comes from. You don't have to be some big, huge, highly attended, though we want to be, a highly attended World's Fair to make invention grow. And it's nice to see that on this scale, but it could be bigger.
Well, that's an amazing sentiment.
Much like the candles that we just witnessed, the spirit of invention can grow to overwhelming size.
Okay. And I think we should probably cut this recording because the three of us seem to be becoming enveloped by a candle as we speak.
Slowly but surely.
Guys, that was a really fun time.
What a blast.
Yeah, I love that. I don't always, sometimes it's hard to get away from my booth to see the other ones, so I'm glad we had that chance to do it.
I almost hesitate to suggest something that could top even that amazing walking tour, but I think we might have just the trick, Elliot.
I think so, and that's a segment called Did You Know?
So listeners, we know that you don't always have time for an entire episode. Sometimes you need to skip ahead to some fast fact, rapid fire trivia information. And that's why we do Did You Know? We have time for 5 fast facts each and every week. Elliot, I believe you have the first one.
I do. Guys, did you know Zelton, Maryland is the home to the most stray cats and dogs of any city in the nation?
Huh. Yeah, I mean, now that you mention it, it's pretty apparent, but why is that?
Well, they constantly have a source of food from all the food that's around the fair. As Duck said, they freak out at the sound of fireworks, which there are a lot of fireworks, and there are so many abandoned cars that they can stay warm, and they all stake claim to their own car.
Yeah, I saw a Doberman in a brand new V&W earlier, and he looked really comfortable in it.
There's a whole family of German Shepherds that live in a Prius over there. They're real nice, though. They're super friendly.
I saw a hilarious Chihuahua in a Hummer 2.
Oh, the size discrepancy. Yeah, that's
sort of that classic juxtaposition.
Yeah, that's Dusty. His name's Dusty.
Duck, do they add anything to the World's Fair other than just, you know, running amok and wreaking havoc? Are there any inventor dogs?
There is one that does his own paintings. I don't know if he considers them inventions, but I think he is creating some type of paw-based alphabet. Mm. We're steadily trying to discern it, but I'd say he's trying to communicate. So there's a bit of that. It's starting for sure. We had a bad spell of rabies, and that wasn't good, but mostly that's run its course.
I just want to look on the bright side here and say that although you say that there's not a lot of attendance at the Zelton World's Fair, if you count all the cats and dogs, we're numbering in the hundreds of thousands.
You are right. That's true. That's true. Why don't I count that? That reflects poorly on me. I should. Yeah, you're right. We have hundreds of thousands in attendance every year.
Elliot, I didn't know that. Did you guys know that there is a permanent installation here at the Zelton World's Fair called The Kitchen of Yesterday's Tomorrow at some point in the future?
So what is The Kitchen of Yesterday's Tomorrow at some point in the future, Vince?
Well, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's it says the kitchen, but it's actually a whole home interior that is 1999's vision of what 2013's vision would be of 2027.
So are there any crazy differences in this kitchen, or is it pretty much the same?
I mean, you could spend a whole week in there, but my favorite were the stovetops that were also DJ turntables.
Ooh, that's nice. I like that combination.
So can you use them while the stove is lit?
No, definitely not. You'd burn your hand severely. and they actually don't work at all. Mm. They're just kind of shaped like records.
Okay.
Then there's a fridge, a refrigerator, and the fridge is just, there's all yogurt in it. It's just full of yogurt.
Did people in 1999 think that the people of 2013 would think that the people of 2020 would only drink yogurt?
It seems that way. And mind you, there's not like small packages of yogurt. The yogurt is just free standing, sort of congealed in the fridge.
Oh, so if you open the door, it's going to come out.
It spills out, yeah, and that frequently happens. They have to pump more yogurt into it, sort of every couple of hours.
I can see that working.
Oh yeah, you can see it in action. Pop on down.
I'm gonna have to do that. I have not seen this one yet.
Bring a spoon.
Oh, I will. I've got mine from the Spang booth, so I'll just hold on to it.
I would clean that thoroughly before you use it again. But
and Duck, can you dig into our next Did You Know fact for us?
I sure can. Did you know that our 2014 high school football team won the 3A state championship?
Well, you don't say. I didn't imagine that Zelton would be a hotbed of athletics, but it looks like I was wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that maybe it has to do with they train with all the cats and dogs that are around here. That's how they do their wind sprints. I think that has to do with we're unmatched in speed and agility. That's what Coach Renegade said in his speech to the local paper, was that we are unmatched in speed and agility. And it was a really nice picture of that 2014 team surrounded by the dogs that helped train them. I mean, man's best friend, yes, and also high school football's best friend.
I can imagine being nipped at your heels by an angry Doberman Pinscher who has recently lost the keys to his BMW would really light a fire under those kids.
Sure thing. Yeah, it can get pretty intimidating. It's like scary, but it does. They always say sport is a reflection of life. At least that's what I like to say. And so what happened, if whatever adversity you have to overcome there, whether it's a rabid dog or cat chasing you, that translates nicely to real life.
I think after we finish recording, we should all watch Varsity Blues together.
Oh, I like that idea.
That's a great idea, Elliot. Elliot, do you have another Did You Know for us?
I do. Guys, did you know that the entire convention World's Fair grounds of Zelton is painted every year?
Really?
Yeah, so as you guys probably know, the fairgrounds in Chicago, in their World's Fair, was painted white. That's why they call it the White City. They paint Zelton green. And some say that this attributes to the low attendance because it blends into the surroundings and people can't even see that the city exists.
Now, okay. I hadn't heard that criticism of it. I knew we did it, but I didn't know that's why people couldn't find us.
I understand the sentiment, you know, green inspires inventiveness and maybe for people to take out their wallets and buy some stuff, but it also is the color of trees and nature, and we're in Maryland, so it's pretty natural around here.
Shoot, dang, yeah, that's accurate. Have you researched any colors that we should paint our fair so that people see it and come and also feel inspired to buy things?
I think anything, you know, not able to blend in the surroundings, so maybe stay away from greens and blues. White's already been done. Maybe have you tried like a tie-dye type thing?
Okay.
You could always go with your base metals to, you know, invoke gold and silver.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I like that. I like the gold and silver idea.
Might cost a lot of money though.
You guys, running this fair is hard.
Yeah, we don't envy the task at all. Mm-hmm. Elliot, I actually could have guessed that since we drove through the town 7 or 8 times before we noticed that we were just going in circles.
Shoot.
I didn't know it for sure.
I hate to throw a whole wrench into, you know, how you guys do things, but I figured I'd bring it up as a fun fact.
No, I mean, thank you. I'm glad you brought it up because we need to be aware. Yeah, I'll bring it up at our next meeting and make sure it makes it into the minutes and then we can take care of it. Yeah. Ugh, jeez. Okay. Okay.
All right, you've made your point, Elliot, okay? Are you happy?
Yeah, I'm
fine. Look at our guest. You're clearly making her distressed.
I don't know. God, it's okay. I still believe in inventions, I think. Yeah, I do. Okay, all right.
Vince, as Duck is recovering, do you have our final Did You Know fact for us?
I do have the final Did You Know fact. Elliot, did you know that the original potato clock was invented right here in Zeldin.
Really, the original one?
The original potato clock, and it's still ticking to this day.
Is it counting the minutes to anything in particular?
The inventor was a sort of a disturbed man who predicted what he called the potato apocalypse. I don't know that that's a real thing. It says the end is nigh on it, and it's counting down to like 10 or 15 years from now.
So you think potatoes are funny, do you, boyo? Oh my God, Liam!
That's Liam, you snuck up on us, for gosh sakes.
You know how much I love potatoes, Vince.
I don't know how much you know about potatoes, Mr. Neeson.
Wow, this is getting a little scary, Vince, especially with Liam Neeson lurking around wherever.
I'm quavering a bit. I'm a bit uncomfortable. Perhaps we should move on.
Yeah, let's just call it a draw. I didn't know that. I'm glad I do. Listeners, we hope you'll join us for our final segment, Wish You Were Here.
So, listeners, Wish You Were Here is our audio postcard from us to you, because if it were up to us, we'd take you along for all our adventures, but that's just not possible. It goes a little something like this. Dear listener, wish you were here in Zeldin, Maryland.
An entrepreneurial town that has its own World's Fair every single year.
A town where entrepreneurship, invention, and creation are always at the forefront of thought.
And they're at the forefront of thought of amazing inventor Duck McTell, inventor of the key pillar that you can see on display every year at Zeldin, Maryland.
It's a town that draws all kinds, be they Estonian inventors, be they candle makers, or even famous movie stars, Rube Goldbergian inventions to prevent kidnapping and theft.
A town that might not have a lot of people attendance at their fair every year, but you can count on seeing thousands and thousands of stray cats and dogs.
I have something I'd like to add, if that's okay.
Yeah, Doc, what would that be?
It's a town where you can expect a new and vibrant color to attract you to it next year, perhaps a combination of silver, gold, tie-dye. So just look for that. Yeah, keep inventing, everyone. Zeldin invents. Farewell from these parts to yours. Don't lose your keys, or do.
Hey, listeners. Hope you enjoyed our time in Zeldin, Maryland. And I hope you stick with us next week when we're in Quinley, Nevada.
What started as an RV park is now a town full of residents with increasingly elaborate RVs they both live in and operate out of, but never leave. So come back. It's going to be fun.